chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees, chicken in the pots, the martyr walk the Petaloomies, out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? In the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB. It's Michelle Anna Jordan live in the studio. Hope you have had a good day, observing or not observing the holiday, whatever you prefer. And I have to give one motherhood shout out, and that is to a little dog I've never met named Bailey. And Bailey is Lark's mother. And Lark, of course, is the little dog you hear sometimes here in the studio. And she actually looks exactly like the pictures I've seen of her mother, Bailey. So, Bailey, you're a good dachshund mama. Thank you. And the music tonight will be, I mean, that's the best thing I think about holidays. I was trying to think while I was driving here today. Is there a holiday that cannot be made better by a good playlist? And so I worked on my Mother's Day playlist as I was getting ready to come to the station. Already had 22 songs, so we had to cut it down a little bit. Anyway, that's the music tonight will honor mothers. And then we have two distinct topics, but I bet we're going to find ways that connect. Food, wine, there, we just did. But last night kicked off a new series, or maybe it's not a new series. Maybe it happened last year.
This is our second year of doing
it. Okay, see, I stopped myself, yes.
This year it's back bigger and better, though.
Yeah, Farm to Table at Kendall Jackson, dinner in the winery. It is Matthew Lowe, chef, culinary and garden educator, and first-level sommelier.
That's me.
And you were working last night, and here you are today.
Back again at it.
Okay, and we also have with us Janelle Healy, Director of Communications for the Barlow, and they have some events coming up that we are going to talk about and then just see where things go. Getting some new tenant. You've gotten one new tenant.
Mm-hmm.
You got the cheesemaker.
Yeah, we do. We have Cofield Cheese, which is Cofield, a great exciting addition to the Barlow. It's really fun. When you walk in there, they're making the cheese right behind glass.
Yeah, you can
glass.
See. I love that you can look in
the
and
process.
See it. Yes.
Yeah, and that is, of course, one of the most special things about the Barlow is the maker community who is actually on-site creating the product you can buy and taste and savor right there.
Yeah, and then someone else is moving in,
yeah.
a food business.
Yeah, we have two tenants coming in pretty soon. In August, we're going to get Barrio, which is delicious, fresh Mexican food.
They were serving the race.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yes. They were at a VIP event that Michelle was at.
Yes.
So that's going to be delicious. And then we're going to have the farmer's wife come, which...
That's the one I heard about yesterday,
yeah,
the farmer's
yeah.
wife.
That's the Nana May legacy. Uh-huh. She is the daughter of Nana May. And so
now, she's going to be... is it going to be a cafe?
It's going to be a small cafe where you can go and get delicious sandwiches with fried eggs, like you see her at various events around the county.
Apple Fair. She's always very popular there.
Yeah, exactly. So we're really excited to have food with a lower price point that's more accessible.
Yes.
So we've definitely gotten that feedback from the community that's more needed at the Barlow. So we're excited to be bringing that in the next few months.
Uh-huh. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Any other news?
Yeah, well, I'm just here to talk about some of the upcoming events we want everyone to come to.
Oh, yeah, well, plenty of time for that. I just wondered if there was anything new on the horizon that we might not have heard about yet.
Well, those are the two
Those are the two tenants.
Delicious food options coming up soon.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And I want, you know, Matthew, I want to just bring you in too, just because if we're talking about the Barlow, feel free to join in. If we're talking about Kendall Jackson, feel free to join in either way. Right. So why don't we go with the three events coming up at the Barlow before we go to the dinners. The dinners, I know, spread up. They go through fall, right?
Go through fall, yes.
Yes, yeah. So you've got Third Thursday coming up. Does it start this month?
Yes, the Third Thursday festivals at the Barlow are going to be in lieu of the street fair. So the Barlow used to have every Thursday a street fair, and we realized that we could make a more impactful fun event if we had them once a month instead of every week. So what we're going to do starting this Thursday from 4 to 8 and going every third Thursday of the month through October, we're going to have a wild, fun party in the street. It's going to be kid-friendly, dog-friendly, but of course grown-up friendly. There's going to be live music. The first band is Burnside the Band, which is cowboy disco is what they like to call themselves.
Oh my God,
so funky
disco?
Americana. It's really fun. But some of the other bands are Soul Horizon, Highway Poets. So there's definitely going to be some other great live music coming. Then there's going to be lots of delicious food vendors, including several of the makers and merchants of the Barlow.
Now, is this all on McKinley?
It's going to be on McKinley Street. So we're going to have a great public festival in the street, and we hope everybody comes. And the first one is this Thursday.
This Thursday, wow,
yeah,
already.
It's coming up.
May 18th.
May 18th, exactly. And then the other thing also starting May 18th and going every Thursday is Locals Day at the Barlow. So this is going to be new. We're inviting the community to come to the Barlow for various tastings, specials, treats, two-for-one deals. So basically every single Thursday, starting this Thursday, you can come to the Barlow and you just ask in the various storefronts, what's your Locals Day special? And simply by asking, you get to be in the know and enjoy the different treats from the makers and merchants of the Barlow. So we're excited to launch both of those fun happenings this upcoming Thursday.
Uh-huh, great. And then you have tours coming up.
Yeah. So we have always dreamed for years of letting people come behind the scenes to watch the makers of the Barlow actually making and producing and then actually tasting or drinking the beautiful crafts that they are producing. So starting May 26th, which is in 2 weeks, it's on a Friday, we're going to do tours every Friday at 1, and we might expand and start doing weekend tours too, but we're going to start with once a week for now, Fridays at 1, starting May 26th. So you can come on a tasting tour. It's going to be 2.5 hours walking around the Barlow, learning the history. You know, of course, it was an applesauce cannery back in the 20th century, so learning about what the campus was like, what was going on here, learning the history of some of the individual tenants and makers, and actually watching as they produce some of their some of their delicious wares and then getting to enjoy them. And those are going to be $89 because they're going to include a large amount of delicious food and drink. So you can visit thebarlow.net to learn more. And we're actually going to have the ticket page is going to go live in the next 48 hours. So if you are interested in coming on a behind-the-scenes tour to meet the makers of the Barlow, we're excited to offer that now.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah. Okay, I think it's time we take our first musical break.
Thanks.
Here on Mouthful.
Mama hated diesel so bad. I guess I knew it was something to do with Dad. The first I ever seen her cry was after one of them things went by. Mama hated diesel so bad. I guess I knew it was something to do with Dad. The first I ever seen her cry was after one of them things went by. Mama hated diesel so bad. Mama hated diesel so bad.
It just wouldn't be Mother's Day without Commander Cody and Mama Hated Diesels. You gotta love it. I've had some great, great moments with that song. Before we shift topics and head to Kendall Jackson and their dinners, let's talk about, you were just looking at your phone, talking about some of the things that are going on Third Thursdays.
Yeah, we're just so excited about all the different things that are going to go on. So one of the things that's going to be really interesting this upcoming Thursday is we're going to do a silent disco. So that'll be interesting. There's a guy named DJ Maestro, and he's going to come right next to the Nectary, kind of tucked in that little area with the recessed grassy area. He's going to throw a silent disco, which basically means everyone's going to have their own set of headphones and is going to be rocking out to the same music, but it's not going to interfere with the band at all. So you can kind of choose your own experience if you want to rock out to the Cowboy Disco, the live band, Burnside, the band, or you can go over and experience this like interesting silent disco.
That is so weird.
It's really in right now. It's very popular. And
you heard it here first.
So we're excited. We're going to give it a go and see what it's like. So that's going to be happening this Thursday. We're also going to have a great kids area. There's going to be lots of crafting. There's going to be a bounce house. We're excited. One of the people who's coming to the kids area is does paleotechnics, Tamara Wilder. So basically a kind of more earthy permaculture kind of crafts, like teaching kids how to do more natural natural stuff. So that's going to be interesting. And then there's the typical like face painting, kids experiences. And then there's going to be all kinds of amazing food. The Barlow vendors, Zazu, are going to make craft cocktails and pork sliders from scratch. Dusky is the chef, so she's going to have a blast with that. Crooked Goat Brewing is going to have a little beer garden, and they're going to offer Ibex, Silver Lining, Grain and Blood, and some of their other amazing beers. Of course, the cheesemakers we were talking about earlier, they're going to participate in the street and have a proper British cheese booth.
Oh, nice.
And Village Bakery is going to have bread, pastries, and preserves, and then Wind Gap Wines is going to be pouring as well. And then, of course, all the other makers and merchants are going to be in their storefronts with their Locals Day specials available, ready for you to enjoy. And you can go to our website, thebarlow.net, to learn more about what each of the specials are for the vendors or for the merchants. And then there's other vendors, too. There's going to be Handline is coming, the restaurant. They're going to do an oyster cart. We got Yay Paella, Sonoma Chocolatiers.
Wait, who's doing an oyster cart?
Handline.
Oh, hand lining is okay.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. And then Big Boy Teriyaki, and then there's going to be other vendors who are selling crafts, such as jewelry and painting, and we even have some of the community coming out. The Waldorf School is going to be selling plants as a fundraiser. The Senior Center is going to be there selling raffle tickets for their upcoming car show, so we really want to support the local community as well and invite nonprofits to come. So yeah, it's going to be a great experience, and we hope you all will come.
It's really great seeing this new energy. It's lovely.
That's great.
I think maybe people got worried when it seemed like it was for sale for a while.
Yeah.
So it seems like this is like, no.
This is the next level, new incarnation of the Barlow. We're really excited. There's going to be lots of fun things happening, and we're all excited.
Excellent. You're certainly welcome to stay with us for the rest of the conversation. Or you can take off and have the rest of the night to yourself.
Thanks.
It is up to you. Yeah. So we're shifting over to Matthew now. And last night focused on Sonoma County Lamb.
Exactly right.
Yes. So tell me about you've got six coming up total.
Exactly. And going all the way through till October.
And it's the second year.
Second year. Last year we kind of did it a little bit of a shorter version of it.
Uh-huh.
But last year was so popular that we needed to squeeze in a couple more dinners.
Uh-huh. And about how many people can attend?
About 125 is about as long as our tables can go, and that's the space we have in the gardens that Tucker Taylor set aside for us to feed people.
I like that it's tables are end to end. That's my preferred method. When my daughter got married, we did 137 people at the same long table.
Wow.
So I like how it looks.
There's something friendly about it, because you're not just sitting in front of the person at a four-top or so. Mm-hmm. You're able to talk with the person a kitty corner to you and down the aisle a little bit. So you're meeting new friends, and what a great way to meet new people over food and wine.
Yeah. Now, who are the menus? A group effort? Who does the menus?
They're a group effort. And each event, we have one of our local meat purveyors or seafood purveyors, and a cheesemaker whose cheese we're going to focus in that. So, for example, last night we had some Sonoma County lamb, and Shauna Davis from Epicurean Connection was our cheesemaker. Mm-hmm. So the next time, the next event that's coming up on June 10th, and Jim Reichart, duck man who is, what, four generations of duck farmers, is aging us some dry cured duck. He's going to age it for about 30 days. 30 years.
It didn't take anybody really 30 long years. Long nap.
That's 30 days. And very much like aging a good steak, this really concentrates those wonderful flavors
right.
to it. And the cheesemaker we're going to have is from Nicasio Valley Cheese Company.
Oh, okay.
So he'll be bringing his cheeses to taste there as well.
He was here not long ago. He was here on Mouthful. And then on July 8th, you've got seafood. So what's it?
Well, Bob Costarello, who's our fishmonger, we're going to pick his brain about that time, because we're never sure about what's going to appear. So seafood gives us a broad category to play with, and we're going to see what kind of seafood he has for us to play with.
Okay.
And then the cheesemaker for that is Mary from Cypress Grove.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to bring some of her great goat's milk cheeses.
Okay, great. And then in August, that's July. In August, you've got heirloom pork and some sort of something with wings. You say fowl here, which means...
Oh, well, fowl, that's another one of those
things. You've left yourself some options.
Well, they designed this thing a couple months ago, so we weren't quite sure. We just wanted to give ourselves just a little bit of a blueprint, a little place to kind of start.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives us a lot of options to play with.
Excellent. And then in September, it's Sonoma County beef, Angus beef.
Yep, Mike Ward from Ward Ranch is raising up a couple of steers.
Well, okay.
And so we'll have those to cook and play with for that event.
And then the last one starts earlier. It starts at 4:30 instead of 5:30, and it's oysters and steak.
How can you beat that? Hog Island oysters, great steak.
You had oysters last night. You know, I could have left then.
I'm glad you stayed for the rest.
It was great, but man, there's just nothing like oysters. Oysters and the rosé that you were pouring last night was very nice, by the way.
You like the rosé?
I do.
Because I happen to bring some.
You brought some.
I brought some.
Why don't we take a, before you pop the cork,
okay,
let's take a little musical break, and we will be right back.
Mama didn't lie. She didn't lie. Mama didn't lie. She didn't lie. Here comes that boy at the springs, making eyes at me again. Do they all think that I'm a toy to be played with by every boy? Will they all to think I will be caught by the wink of an eye? My mama didn't.
Jan Brantley, Mama Didn't Lie. I don't know, her mama might not have. I think my mama told plenty of big lies. Okay, so you had something you were going to do. You were going to make a sound that we really like.
You really like?
We really like the sound on Mouthful.
Let me see how this works. It's not working well right now. Give me a second.
Woo! There we go. And so, here comes the next sound we like.
Oh, yes, here's the other one.
That's what the day has lacked.
Ah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, isn't it? Hey, it's 5 o'clock here, isn't it?
Okay. And this is a rosé of...
This is a 2015 Grand Reserve rosé. And this is a rosé of Syrah, Grenache, and Pinot Noir.
It just went so beautifully with the oysters last night. Really lovely.
It's a nice, crisp, clean wine.
Right.
I mean, I just really enjoy it. It's just, and summertime's coming up. It's one of those things you chill down and throw in your picnic basket.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And it's just a great wine.
It is. I want to see the label.
Oh, here.
Let me see.
I was holding it up to the microphone so people at home could see it. But.
Yeah, but then that blocked my view.
Oh, I see.
Okay. No, that made no sense. Okay, granted. Tea roses, gardenias, orange blossom. Who gets the job to write the notes?
I just steal the notes. So
it's a lovely, lovely rosé, and I'm so glad that dry rosés are getting popular.
Well, we all had to start somewhere, and I think it was kind of nice that we started off with sweet rosés. At least it got us to try them, and that kept a bunch of old vine Zinfandels on the loop. Otherwise, the farmers would have plowed them under, and we would have had more Merlot.
We're going to take another musical break here. We'll be right back.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. spite of all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried. Dear old Daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes, working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
Yeah, Mama said there'll be days like this, didn't she? A couple Mama songs. I had to take a little bit of a break there. And thanks so much to Janelle Healy for being here. And we're going to continue out the hour with Matthew. All those words at the freeway exit. They just couldn't get up. Tell us about your position at Kendall Jackson.
Well,
because you do a lot.
I do a lot. I've been there a lot. I've been there for almost 17 years at the wine center off of Fulton Road. I know you've driven by it on the freeway all the time. You go, I should stop there one day. And I know what Kendall Jackson wines taste like because I buy them by the case at Costco. But we really invite you to come into to the Kendall Jackson Wine Estate and Gardens to taste some wines that you can't get at Costco and to walk through the three-acre gardens that that are farmer Tucker Taylor has put together for us. What I do is I work in the kitchen doing whatever needs to be done. But one of the other things that I do every day, that we do every day at the wine center, is we do food and wine pairings. And
right, every day now.
Every day. It's one of those things that you don't need a reservation for. I know some wineries, they only do them certain days of the week, and you have to make a reservation. And so we do three different food and wine pairings. We do a food and wine pairing that's got five wines paired with five delicious dishes. And we also do a cheese and wine pairing, because let's face it, we're in the best place for some of the greatest cheeses in California.
And but I think in the whole country.
And, well, there's not a lot of cows in Los Angeles, so we at least win that one.
Yeah, but I mean, we have the cleanest milk in America, and we have just some of the most magnificent cheeses made in this country, and fabulous butter.
Absolutely.
Fabulous.
And the other thing we do, Robert Nieto, our pastry chef, also has a chocolate pairing with four wines paired with chocolates.
Now, what is he? Do you have those listed there by any chance?
I do somewhere.
Okay, let's see. What would he pair with chocolate? Because there's a lot of controversy about that.
He uses – I don't have the exact – let me see, because I remember – I don't have the exact menu. But – so we pair the rosé, in fact, the rosé you have in front of you, with a – he calls it a strawberry and cream truffle.
Uh-huh.
The next wine is a Cabernet Sauvignon. And some cabernet, the Cabernet that we pour, has a little bit of, it's that kind of coffee, mocha, chocolate flavors in the background, but there's also a little bit of herbaceous in the inner, a little bit of like a green bean kind of flavor. And he pairs that with a rosemary and chocolate truffle. And the next wine has a little bit of residual sugar to it. It's a it's an off-dry Riesling, and he pairs that with the lavender and white truffle. And the last pairing he has is port, and he pairs the port with a coffee and chocolate truffle.
Mm. Okay, that's interesting. The coffee, I like the coffee element there.
So does Robert.
Okay.
And so do people that sit down and do their pairing.
Uh-huh. So tell us a little bit. Tell us a little bit here. Wait, this is the one.
You have my prices in front of you there. So, but we do it every day of the week, from 10 o'clock in the morning to about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
So wine and food pairings, 55. Wine and cheese is 30. Wine and chocolate, 25.
Yeah,
it's a deal.
It's a deal. And if you're a wine club member, it's even a better deal. So both the farm-to-table events have a wine club member deal, and the food and wine pairings that we do every day have a wine club discount as well. So it's a great reason to join the wine club as well.
And then, and you also just do bar tastings, which will be a simple.
We do, yeah. Just come up and you know, taste some wines that you're not going to be able to get outside of the tasting room, really.
And what are you finding people are reacting to these days? What are people really enjoying? Have you noticed any trends?
It's hard to say of one big trend because it's so everybody's got individual tastes. Some people tend to like wines with a little bit of residual sugar, particularly when they find out how to pair food with wine.
Uh-huh.
For me, spicy food goes well with something with a little bit of residual sugar.
I agree with you.
We're talking about rosés for summer picnics. Another one of my favorites I brought too. This has a different sound, by the way.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This one is a Pinot Gris.
Ah, okay.
Oops. Let's do it for the air here. I like that sound, too.
It's a great sound.
So this is Pinot Gris. And this is another summertime wine. And the other one of the reasons I like this is it does have a screw cap, Stelvin cap, which means if you go on your picnic and you've forgotten your corkscrew, you can find a way to get in. You don't have to run over the neck with the car. Exactly right. Everybody's got a way to get in there, but you don't have to do that with this. And this is a blend of 75% Pinot Gris, but there's also some Roussanne, some Chardonnay, some Marsan, some Amarino, as Viognier, and a little bit of Muscat in there. So this is a nice blend, but still Pinot Gris. So it has that little bit of sweetness, a little bit of fruitiness to it. I mean, so it's got those ripe, crisp citrus flavors along with that melon and mango and things like that that are in there.
Yeah, this is...
It doesn't suck, does it?
It does not suck. It doesn't suck. It's really interesting range of flavors, but I have to tell you, I would not, on first sip, I wouldn't say, oh, California Pinot Gris.
And it grow.
And that's in a good. That's a compliment.
We get it from. Well, we grow these grapes in Mendocino and Sonoma counties. Mm-hmm. You can't
it's
get
nice
much more California
lean.
Than that.
It's nice and lean. Well, I had just noticed with Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio, I had noticed a trend. It's probably faded now. Where I didn't care for what the state was doing. I thought they were a little cloying. I thought they. Well, they were dry for the most part. There was a perception of sweetness that I didn't care for. And this is very lean. And it's a little floral, but there's no perception of sweetness. And that's a real positive thing for me.
And people that like this wine, I think, are also liking the trend of getting away from oaked Chardonnays.
Yes.
You're going to see, you try un-oaked Chardonnays and you really taste the fruit that the growers put in the glass.
A whole different. David Munsgaard at Iron Horse Vineyards makes the most beautiful un-oaked Chardonnay. It's just gorgeous. And he was one of the first ones I knew around here, and now Miramar Estate has one. Have you bottled any yet? Is KJ bottling?
We have an un-oaked Chardonnay called Avant.
Oh, okay. That one, yes.
And it comes in a screw cap, which means drink it now, so it's not meant to age for very, very long. But it's a great crisp wine. Sells for like $15 a bottle, so you can afford to buy two of them at that price.
Let's see. I forget what I was going to say. That happens a lot today. During the week, are you spending a lot of time in the kitchen cooking?
Yes.
Okay.
So cooking and presenting. So one of the nice things about the food and wine pairing that we do, one of the chefs always comes out and explains the pairing about why they chose the wine to go along with it. what the food is like. So if you have a question about how the food's prepared, you know, if you'd like a little recipe tip about it, we're glad to share those kind of things. And it kind of is more interactive instead of just having a server come out who doesn't know the answer to the question about what kind of salt is this on here. Well, it's Maldon sea salt, which gives you that little bit of a crispness.
Our favorite salt.
Like, it's much like snowflakes melting on your tongue.
Yes.
And so I bring out because I love show and tell. I must have loved show and tell as a kid because I love to bring people things that they can touch and feel and taste. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between kosher salt and Maldon salt? Well, let's show you what it's like. One of the things that we're doing on our current menu is we're making Carolina gold rice grits. And we use some herbs from the garden. And one of the herbs we use is stinging nettle, which I describe to people. Stinging nettle does exactly what stinging nettle sounds like it's going to do when you find it in the forest in the wrong way.
Exactly.
But if you put it in a little bit of hot water, it takes the sting out of it, it gives you this wonderful springtime flavor.
I love stinging nettle. We just love it. And so you're doing it with grits.
We do it with grits.
How are you doing it?
We also use some sorrel, which this time of the year, because of the oxalic acids in there, nice lemony. So we blend those together and just kind of fold it in with the grits.
Oh, we put it directly into the grits.
Yep. Okay. We mix it together, and then we also serve it with a seared scallop.
Oh.
A seared Daybot scallop. Uh-huh. And it goes with a little bit of Chardonnay.
Uh-huh.
So that, you know, that scallop's got that little bit of richness to
sure,
it.
Sure, absolutely.
And the grits have that nice creaminess to it.
Sure.
All those things you find in the Chardonnay that we paired it with. And, you know, we talked about different Chardonnays. This is a side story, but Kendall Jackson's known for Chardonnay. And I had a guest that came in, and she said, you know what? I don't like Chardonnay. I said, really? Why is that? Well, every time I go out to a restaurant to order a glass of Chardonnay, it's different. I said, well, let's do this.
Honey, so, have a Budweiser.
So what we did is we lined up five different Kendall Jackson Chardonnays, because we farm all the way from Mendocino in the north to Santa Barbara in the south. Mm-hmm. And each one of those areas has different profiles. And the way that Randy Allemar, master winemaker, blends those together are going to give you different flavors in the glass. So we went through each one and found out that she didn't like one that was too oaked. She didn't like one that was under oaked. She was kind of finding the Goldilocks one that was just right. And so we took some notes. We took the winemaker's notes and gave them to her so that next time that she visited her restaurant of choice, she could describe to the waiter or the sommelier or the bartender about what she liked in Chardonnays.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And nice of you to do that.
I enjoy, like you, teaching people what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how I learned, is because people would take me under the wings and tell me a little bit more about this technique or how this wine is produced. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot of things from our guests, too, who ask great questions, which means that I have to figure out the answer to it.
Uh-huh.
So it keeps me on my toes.
It's a great way to learn.
It is.
Yeah. How do you personally utilize the garden? Do you get to go out there and pick yourself, or does Tucker tell you what you can have?
Yeah, he's a little persnickety sometimes. So we have that feeling. We sneak out in the early morning before he gets to work if we need something just a small batch or something. But if we need a large batch, we'll of course ask him about what we can pick and how to pick it, because we want to make sure that if you pick things the wrong way, you can kill the plant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got ways of pruning that will give us a couple more successions of produce from the garden.
Uh-huh. Now you have two locations, right? For produce, isn't there another part like in Alexander Valley where you're growing
we
produce?
We used to do a little bit up in Alexander Valley,
but you're not doing that anymore.
No, we've 3 acres is a lot of work.
Okay, so all the tomatoes, say, are now at
all the tomatoes are at the wine center.
Okay, and there's some big changes coming for the tomato festival.
Yeah, but they haven't told me about them yet. But I know that after 20 years, they decided, you know what? Let's do more of a harvest event.
Yeah, someone was talking to me about it last night. I'm not going to remember who it's going to be. Maybe it was Justin.
Could have been. He knows more than I do.
It's probably Justin the chef.
Which is why he's the boss. Yeah, Justin Wango is our executive chef.
Yeah, and he was talking about how the name is going to be changed, Harvest Festival.
Yeah, well, there's more things out there besides tomatoes.
And tomatoes will be at the core of it, he said.
Absolutely.
But it's going to be more of a harvest celebration. So, interesting.
Absolutely. I did bring you a little taste of something that we do on our food and wine pairing.
Okay.
This is one of our desserts that Robert, our pastry chef, prepares. And this is called a cannelet. Cannelet is a dessert that originated in Bordeaux, France, around the 1700s, I think. Came to fruition from some nuns. that came up with this. So it's a batter that you pour into a special copper mold. The batter is a little bit like pancake batter. So it's got eggs and milk and sugar, vanilla, a little bit of rum. Oh, actually, it's got a lot of rum to it.
You can really smell it. I can smell the vanilla.
And we put it in the oven. What we hope is going to come out of the oven is something that's going to be a little bit crispy on the outside and moist and almost custard-like on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to make, but it's also easy to screw up, too. And how it came to be made in Bordeaux is winemakers will sometimes use egg whites to fine the wine, to filter out protein haze, mm-hmm. and to take the sharp edges off some of those angry tannins that you're going to find.
Mm-hmm.
And since the winemaker is using the egg whites to fine the wine, they need to figure out something to do with all the egg yolks, and the Canalet is where they went.
Ah. So they had all this left over. Okay.
And that's a Canalet.
It's a Canalet, and it's...
It's going to be crunchy on the outside.
Look at that.
Kind of like a pudding in your hand is a way to describe it. It's got that nice custardy feel to it.
What did you think of it, Anthony?
Kind of like a very custardy volcano cake, but not heated up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that we do there.
Yeah, and you can definitely taste the rum.
And I love telling that story because, first off, it's not a story. It's fact.
Right, it's true.
But it's people kind of find that kind of interesting about, first off, that winemakers use egg whites to fine wines.
Right.
And that, second off, that this has been around for many years and they've just discovered it. Or with the other thing, too, which is kind of cool, is people that have traveled to France, when you bring this to the table, their eyes light up. They go, I know what this is.
It.
And I ask them to tell me their story about how they discovered Canalets, so I can add a little bit more to my repertoire. Because, again, I'm learning things from my guests as well.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Canalet.
Canalet.
And they're really and there's a special mold.
It's a copper mold, and we season it with a mixture of beeswax and butter. I think back in the day they just used beeswax. Uh-huh. I'm not quite sure why. I haven't figured that one out yet.
Maybe it was more available than butter.
It might have been. There's probably a good reason for it. But now we use a mixture of butter and beeswax just to kind of keep that tradition alive and growing. And it's a copper mold. You put it in the oven for about an hour, high temp first, kind of does a little souffle action in there. And we just bake it the rest of the way and kind of watch and see if it's nicely brown. Take it out, pop them out of the mold, and put them on your plate.
There you go. Cool. On that note, I think we need one more musical break, and we'll be right back for our last segment here on Mouthful.
Well, tell mama, you're all about it. Well, tell mama, what do you need? Tell your mama, babe, what do you want? Tell your mama, babe, what do you need? What do you want? What do you need? What do you want? Wow, now make everything all right. Go your head, teeny, don't have no sense, babe. What's the word for the time that you spend? What do you want?
Yes, Janis Joplin doing what I'm pretty sure is an Irma Thomas song, Tell Mama. Somehow I don't think she was talking about her mother. Just didn't seem that way. We've got one more wine to talk about.
We do. In fact, this is one of the wines that we had last night at the Kendall Jackson Farm to Table dinner. I opened it up a little bit so it'll breathe a bit. This is Pinot Noir. And this Pinot Noir comes from...
Oh, wait. That's the... It sounded so good.
It does sound... Here, taste it. This sounds great, too. It tastes as well, too. So Pinot Noir, this is 100% Pinot Noir. And this is called Outland Ridge. It's coming out of Anderson Valley up in Mendocino County. So it's one of the most northern places in California to grow grapes, and it still has that wonderful coastal influence.
Right.
So these grapes can hang on the vine a long time. Let's face it. You and I have hung around for a long time, and we got a lot of character. Grapes do the same thing. The longer they hang around, the more character there.
And how many Pinot Noirs does KJ make?
Boy, I think there's probably about a dozen different ones.
Okay, there's that many. Are you doing? And you're doing some from down south, from Santa Barbara County?
Santa Barbara County, exactly. Yeah. Down in the Santa Maria Valley. Again, that's one of those cool coastal climates. People think of Santa Barbara as being a warm spot, but it's one of the few valleys in California that faces east and west. It used to be a river that ran through there.
Right.
So you have that nice sandy loam that's in that soil, which it really loves. And just like the Russian River up here, you can have a warm day which builds the sugars up in a wine grape. When that fog kind of rolls in, just like we're glad to see it at the end of a 100-degree day and nature's air conditioning, grapes need to rest a little bit too, and that helps to build up the acidity and balance that out in there.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they get flabby.
Flabby is a good way to describe it. And we've all had flabby wines. They're just flabby.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe it.
Flabby. Flabby wines are – I guess there's somebody who likes flabby wines. I'm not one of them.
My vinegar barrel loves flabby wines.
There you go. So you make vinegar at home?
I do, yes. Most people dump it down the drain, which I think is just a waste. When you can, if I have a $100 bottle of wine that unfortunately is corked, I'm not going to dump it down the drain. It's going to make a $100 bottle of vinegar. Well, sure. I can't sell it for that.
But. So do you use a full barrel?
I have a couple plastic buckets.
Okay.
I'm not that high tech.
Well, it's been a topic on Facebook lately. People making vinegar and talking about the containers they use and that sort of thing. So it was on my mind. Let's go back to the farm-to-table dinner because we didn't do?
What didn't we do?
We didn't tell people how to get information, where to go, or what it costs.
Well, let's start with all that information. So remember, this is held in the gardens of the Kendall Jackson Wine Estate and Gardens, and we're at 5007 Fulton Road, just north of downtown Fulton. We're on the left-hand side of the road as you're heading north.
It's the last thing you can do before you go over the overpass.
That's exactly right. And again, there's five more farm-to-table events coming up. It's the second Tuesday of the month, I believe. I'm thinking about the Barlow now.
Second Saturday of the month.
Tickets, if you're not a wine club member, are $175 a person.
$125 if you are a member of the wine club, and that limits you to four people.
That's all we let the wine club. Even we limit our wine club members to four people.
But it's held
out in the gardens. There's lights. You're able to watch. Last night we were able to watch the sunset.
And I really like the natural colored muslin or whatever shade cloth you're using. I like how it looks a lot.
It's not tinting. It just kind of lets the breeze blow through.
It's very pretty.
And it's nice to be able to sit in the garden where if you have too much wine and fall over in your chair, you will fall into the carrot patch that were on your plate like 5 minutes ago.
Yes. Yeah. You're eating just right there in the midst of everything.
And you can find information on our website, which is kj.com.
Yeah, you guys got that early on, didn't you?
kj.com. So otherwise, just stop by the winery for a visit, grab a glass and take a stroll through the garden, pop your head in the kitchen and see if I'm working that day. I'll be glad to show you around. It's one of the things that I love to do.
You'll recognize him. He's the redhead. I'm just kidding. He has a beard, a nice close-cropped beard. Salt and pepper beard, I think you'd say.
Thank you for that.
So we've got like two more minutes. Is malt and sea salt your favorite salt?
I like it as a finishing salt.
Because
it tends not to be salty, but it brings kind of that that last bit of touch before you send it out of the kitchen. And it might be a drizzle of some estate olive oil. It might be just that little touch of sea salt. Or that little squeeze of lemon. It's something that just kind of, you can't do it ahead of time.
No, you can't. You have to do it right at the end.
Before it goes right in front of the guest.
Exactly.
And it makes a difference in the way that tastes, because it's right on top. It's going to be right in front of your palate.
Yeah, and it brings, the hollow pyramid dissolves really quickly on your palate, and it brings the flavors to your palate.
Without it being salty. Have you tried their smoked sea salt?
I'm waiting for it to arrive.
Because one of the things we do in our cheese pairing is we use that to help us make our bacon almonds that go along with a Syrah.
I have several different kinds of smoked salt, but I don't have theirs yet. I ordered it, and I'm waiting for it to be back in stock. Forget where I ordered it from. I couldn't find it locally.
Well, stop by, and I'll give you a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Another reason for you to stop by again.
There you go. On my way to Healdsburg. I have to go up there sometime soon. And on that note, I think I made it through the show.
You wanted the hour to go fast, I think. Did it go fast?
Yes and no. Yes and no. But meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB Radio 91. Thanks very much to Anthony, my fabulous engineer.
Thank you.
Saves the day in more ways than you could possibly know. Have a great week.